It is day six of the impeachment trial of President Donald J. Trump. Today, the president's lawyers have been arguing against the articles of impeachment put forth by House managers last week. The two articles the House brought against the president are abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Robert Ray, a member of President Trump's legal team and former independent counsel, says the articles, as they're written, do not meet the constitutional standard for impeachment.
President Trump is not removable from office just because a designing majority in the House, as represented by their managers, believes that the president abused the power of his office during the July 25th call with President Zelensky. The Constitution requires more. To ignore the requirement of proving that a crime was committed is to sidestep the constitutional design as well as the lessons of history.
Then Alan Dershowitz, a constitutional law expert on the president's team, laid out his own constitutional argument.
Please understand what I'm arguing is that purely non-criminal conduct, including abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, are outside the range of impeachable offenses. That is the key argument I'm presenting today.
All right, let's start there, that his argument that purely non-criminal conduct, including abuse of power and obstruction of justice, are outside the range of impeachable offenses. I'm joined now by NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson and NPR political reporter Tim Mack. Hey to both of you.
Hey there.
All right, so yeah, the president's defense team argues that the president's actions don't amount to any violation of criminal law. That is a central argument that they are making. How has this team explained why a violation of criminal law is necessary before any presidential conduct is impeachable? Mara.
Well, this is what Alan Dershowitz gave his constitutional lecture about. Mm-hmm. He said, you have to have a crime. He didn't think that during the Clinton impeachment. And he said, I've gone back to these musty old tomes, law books, and I've changed my mind on this.
Oh, so he actually asserted during the Clinton impeachment that a violation of criminal law was not necessary. He explicitly said
yes.
That back then.
Now, I am not a lawyer, although others here are. And it's my understanding that the consensus of legal opinion is that you don't need a crime, that impeachment is a political act, and pretty much the jury, the Senate, decides what's an impeachable offense.
Well, I'm thinking back, Tim Mack, to when during the House impeachment inquiry, they called out a bunch of legal scholars. We had Noah Feldman from Harvard Law School, Pam Carlin from Stanford Law School, Michael Gerhardt from the University of North Carolina School of Law, and Jonathan Turley, the Republican selected witness from GW University Law School. Did any of them say, to the extent that you can remember, that a violation of criminal law was absolutely necessary before a president could be impeached?
No. And in fact, they've all said that you do not need to commit a crime in order for a president. A president does not need to commit a crime for that president to be impeached. In fact, Jonathan Turley, who, as you mentioned, was the legal scholar selected by Republicans to testify in that particular panel, has written very recently about how he doesn't believe that that's a good standard. Now, what did the president's lawyers say? What did Alan Dershowitz say in that presentation we just heard? He argues that presidents need to commit, quote, criminal-like behavior.
Okay.
In order to be impeached, something that is analogous or similar to breaking a criminal statute. And he says that purely non-criminal conduct is outside the bounds of impeachment. His argument is that, you know, this all goes back to the Constitution and the interpretation of what high crimes and misdemeanors means.
I mean, we should know that the nonpartisan General Accounting Office did conclude that the Trump administration had violated the law when it withheld funds from Ukraine that had been allocated by Congress. Mara, how important is that to the case that the president's defense team is making right now?
The violation of the Impoundment Act, which says after Congress has appropriated funds, after all, they do have the power of the purse. That's clearly the Congress's jurisdiction. The president can't not spend the money, can't hold it up.
Right.
But there's no penalty for violating the Impoundment Act. And that isn't one of the articles of impeachment. It actually, finding that he violated this act came after the impeachment vote in the House.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of Republicans are raising
now. But the other point that Dershowitz was making is that the language, abuse of power, is too vague, that it's not specific enough.
And same with obstruction of Congress,
that they're too mushy to be considered crimes that can be committed.
Right.
Although, you know, I have to say that there's this constitutional argument about what's an impeachable offense. And I think that to the extent that Dershowitz can give Republicans some comfort, some things to kind of say, hey, Alan Dershowitz, the great constitutional scholar, said this isn't impeachable. What I thought was most interesting about the concluding comments of the president's team is that the last thing that Pat Cipollone said, he came back to the most political argument that is actually, I think, their most politically appealing argument, which is the most important choice should be left to the American people. They should decide if a president stays in office or doesn't stay in office. It's only 9 months away. He said, don't remove him from the ballot. Let the voters decide that.